The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, NBA fans, and welcome to an emergency podcast, our very first emergency podcast, by the way. I tried to get one going on Monday, but we just couldn't get everybody together. But this one, we could, and it's for the Kristaps Porzingis trade. It fucking took all of us completely by surprise. It's fucking crazy. But we're going to break it all down, talk about the trade, the who's going where, and what this means for Dallas, and more importantly, the New York Knicks going forward. But joining me this evening is Joel Jimenez. What up, Joel?
Yo, what is good? I'm devastated and excited and sad and mad. I don't know what to feel anymore.
Yeah, it's a fucking whirlwind of emotions. And also joining us tonight, another New York Knicks fan, Juwan Carter. What's up, Juwan?
Yeah, I'm with Joel. This week's proving to be really, really trying. So it's making me nervous for Sunday with all the bad news I've been getting so far.
Oh, that would be great, Terry.
Well, you know what? At least you're not fucking New Orleans. And you fucking right. your football team loses on some a bullshit fucking pass interference blown call, and then Anthony Davis requests a trade like 4 days later. In the grand scheme of
they're
things,
they're feeling it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean it's fucking crazy, man. I will say this. I feel like. Juwan, you said you don't, but I feel like you should. I feel like we should all be equally, like we should all come together in our hatred for the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, me as a Hawks fan for them prying Luka away, and y'all for them prying KP away. But let's just get into the fucking trade. All right, so as of now, as far as I can tell, Dallas is getting KP6, Hardaway, Courtney Lee, and Trey Burke. And the Knicks are getting Dennis Smith Jr., the expiring contracts of both DeAndre Jordan and Wesley Matthews, and future draft picks or a pick. The picks aren't, I don't know. From what I can tell, they're not finalized. Let me kick it to you, Joel. You said there was a report from Shams that said it either is or could be two future first-round picks. Now, that was earlier in the day, I think, from what I recall. Nothing to that sort seems to have been finalized yet, at least or reported on, if you will. Is that correct? Like Shams said that there would be two future first-round picks involved?
Yeah, he says that. I mean, his exact tweet was sources Dallas draft compensation to New York in Kristaps Porzingis deal, two future first round picks. That's what he said.
All right.
But yeah, nothing, no details other than that.
Word. Well, I mean, you know, we'll see. Interesting. It'd be a really interesting move for Dallas because obviously they gave up a first to get Luka. And now if they're giving up two firsts to essentially get KP6 and Hardaway, Hardaway will definitely help them. Let's just briefly, like before we get into New York, because that's where obviously we're going to spend the majority of our time. But like just quickly, let's delve into what this means for Dallas so we can kind of get that out of the way, if you will. I do find it interesting because obviously the way they've been using Luka is like a Hedo Turkoglu point forward type player. That like obviously that means they can't do that anymore. You can't like Kristaps cannot play the five on defense, not against like all those huge bodies that you know all these new age centers that are coming into the league. And I especially would not want him to do that, you know, with his injury concerns. So I think that means, like, you're going to see more of a kind of traditional point guard role out of Luka. And as for the way the rest of the lineup shakes out, I think you obviously have THJ at the two. You have Harrison Barnes at three. Kristaps at the four, and the five, maybe Dwight Powell is probably your starting five at this point.
Powell?
Yeah,
oh.
maybe.
Maybe, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see where else you would go.
Yeah,
I really don't think it would be smart to play KP at the five. Not like just
I'm
for defensive sake.
Right, I forget the other center, but he doesn't get one minute. Powell.
I know how it's spelled. It's Meijri.
I don't know how. Measure, right? There you go.
Measure, okay. I don't know how it's pronounced, but there you go. But yeah, like I mean, it's an interesting move for Dallas. It's going to be really interesting to see how like what draft compensation is finalized, the pick protections and all those kinds of things. But as far as Dallas, I mean, they obviously want to win now. They made that decision really before the last year's draft, like or in last year's draft when they traded a future first to get Luka. And this is just kind of even more so cemented it. They want to win now. This is why they made the move. I like it for Dallas. I really do. I think that is a good core four to have, and you know, hopefully, from their perspective, they can sign, you know, a center in the off season, you know, via like an exception, because obviously they're going to have to. They took on the long-term salary of Hardaway. They have to pay Courtney Lee next year as well. And, you know, they're going to have to pay Porzingis. I don't think that's going to make them a luxury tax team, but they're only going to have so much money to throw at another player. Maybe about $9 or $10 million is, I believe, what would be the non-luxury tax exception. So they could easily go get a center with that. I understand. I think it's probably a smart move because of how they already decided to invest, in Luka, and you know they're probably going to be pretty good. I think they pretty much live and die by Kristaps' health and. Defensively, how they can, if they can maximize defensive players around Luka and Kristaps. Joel, what are your thoughts as it pertains to the Dallas Mavericks and their team going forward?
Before I get into that, the Knicks officially announced the trade on Twitter, and they also mentioned two future firsts as well.
Nice.
So. That's official, no, yeah. On the let's just look at it as on the Dallas side. Good for them. I mean, that team wasn't doing shit, really. I mean, they've struggled. They started hot. They have good games. They're not a terrible team, but in the West, they're only going to be so good. And it looked like they were going to try to go hard this year for Dirk to make the playoffs. And I respect them for it because Dirk deserves at least to be in the playoffs before he sends, you know, goes his way. But things haven't worked out that way. But, you know, looking forward, they had a great young core when they had Dennis Smith Jr. and Luka Doncic and Harrison Barnes and, those are, I guess, the key parts of that youth movement. And then, of course, they brought in veteran like DeAndre Jordan, and they still had West and stuff like that. But things didn't work out, and now we've heard weeks ago that they were looking to move Dennis Smith Jr., mainly because things between him and the team haven't worked out. He just, maybe he's not a fit. He's a ball guy. Then he got it, needs the ball, and so is Luka. And they want, I guess, Luka to play point guard. I guess that, is that what they're going to do going forward? Is that, I guess, Luka's the point guard moving forward?
I would have to assume so. I don't see, like, I mean, that's pretty much what he does on offense already.
Right.
And, I mean, I just feel like now he's going to have to do that on defense as well. I mean, I feel like that's the only way to make it work.
So, yeah, look, so though they, you know, we knew that was going to happen at some point. We were reading the tea leaves. Dennis and the Junior were probably going to be out. Then this opportunity happened. Like, within, for our time, this all happened within, like, an hour for me, because I was busy, so I didn't really read any of the other bullshit that was going on earlier. I was busy, and things just kind of collapsed on itself as time. And then, oh, he's interested. He's not interested in how things are going, and Porzingis is worried about all the losing. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, motherfucker, we're tanking. This is what happens when you're tanking. You lose. I don't know what your mindset is.
Yeah, you finally did it right. Right? Like,
I mean,
the Knicks have never been able to tank correctly, and this year they finally fucking do it.
Right, and oh my God, does everyone complain when they do? Like, they fucking finally tank, and all people do is complain that they suck and they lose, but they're losing on purpose.
That's
obviously
the point. Right. You got the worst record in the league. That is fucking gnarly, dude. Like, that is what
that
you want right now.
Right, and that team, I've seen them. They play well. They're not a terrible team, but they obviously went into the – look, this coach obviously said, fuck it, we're going to lose. We've been losing, so fuck it. I'm not going to play some guys. These guys here, he's going to switch it around. Some people didn't like that, obviously. But look, KP has been a little fucked up ever since the whole thing with Phil. Yeah, he walked out, didn't have the end of the year meeting with Phil.
Right.
That was a little immature, in my opinion. You know, it is what it is. I understood why he did it. And Phil's a kind of pain in the ass to begin with. But, you know, it's a little immature. You should have faced the man before you left. He got over it. He's been influenced from the beginning by some of the vets, like a Melo. You saw how the shit went down with Melo, and it didn't end well with him.
Right.
And that kind of soured him as well. And then shit going down recently with Cannon, who can't keep his mouth shut and just sit there and eventually get moved. You will play again. But no, you can't shut up. And then him, it's just so much bullshit that it got to the point where they go, I'd rather just be traded. And it looks like New York has known about this for a while, because apparently they've been talking to Dallas for a couple days now.
Right.
Not just today. So this looks like, you know,
I think it's been sitting, like, it's been, the pot has been stirring for a while, but I also think
I agree.
when the AD thing happened, I think they, like, I'm sure New York picked up the phone and said, hey, like, we'll give you Kristaps and whatever else. And I'm sure KP caught wind of that and was like, and was just like, fuck it, dude. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak.
No, I totally agree. But it's a business. And, like, that's what happened. And now, in my opinion.
It's like Jason Tatum said, man. Like, I would trade me for AD too. I wish everybody could fucking recognize that.
That's the problem. Some guys won't, and especially him. He kind of thinks very highly of himself, and he's coming off an ACL surgery. For a guy that's abnormally tall, can do some of the shit he does, to come from an injury like that, you got to be careful with someone like that. So who knows when he'll be 100%. So hopefully sometime next year for Dallas, he'll be 100%, and he'll look great for them, you know. But as of right now, he wanted to leave. It doesn't look like he was happy. So I don't want anyone here that's not happy. So in that regard, I say fuck him. Let him go. If I'm upset about anything, is that I kind of felt like this trade, we could have gotten more for him. And so you're like, fuck, man. Like, what? Like, you got just – I like that.
I don't know, dude.
Like,
you got a lot.
I know. We got a lot.
We'll get into the machinations of what you got, but
Yeah, I know. After you look at it, I think it wasn't terrible. I think we probably just we probably could have got.
It was better than not terrible, bro.
But
I'm telling
maybe
you.
Maybe I'm just influenced by all the chatter that people just completely complaining about all this and that. So in my head, it could have probably been better. But a lot of people are bitching right now. But they're all in their feelings right now. So maybe I'm not clear either. But as of right now. I'm living with it. I don't hate Dennis Smith Jr. I know a lot of people have been shitting on him lately. I didn't hate him before. I don't hate him now. We got a point guard of the future technically right now, right? He's gonna have the ball in his hands, and now we have a point guard. You know, we still have our youth. We have Trier. We have Knox. We have Mitchell Robinson. And now Dennis Smith Jr. to go with a lottery pick, which could possibly be the first pick in the draft. If things fall that way, hopefully. Which are all good, like you were saying earlier, trade chips. So, I mean, there's positives and there's negatives. I'm just a little bit tight because I trusted KP and I thought he was here for the long haul. So there's a part of me that kind of feels a little betrayed. That's all.
Yeah, no, man, I hear you. I mean, it's yeah, it always sucks when like you have a player that you're so invested in and you're just waiting with bated breath in anticipation for them to come back. And then this hits you. It's like, obviously all of this, shit was very well kept under wraps. We didn't hear any reporting of it. And that's usually, seemingly that's usually how these trades happen. These star player trades, they come out of nowhere. But yeah, man, I feel you. I mean, it's a whirlwind of emotion. Juwan, what are your thoughts on mainly Dallas and what they're getting in this? But if you want to tangent, kind of like Joel did. And by the way, Joel, great tangent, man. I loved it. I was like, fuck, dude. This is like me and Juwan. I'm hearing Joel be like me and Juwan right now. It's fucking amazing.
What's that?
But what are your thoughts on, where Dallas is and, what have you?
It's great for Dallas. You're getting a guy who can jump really high for block shots, alley-oops. You got a point guard who can set Kristaps up, put him in great positions to score. That team, just out of the idea of those two, is going to be pretty dangerous. Obviously, KP also gets to sit on the bench, talk with Dirk every day till the end of the season. I know he's going to love the idea of that, picking his brain, getting to know Dirk, because before he ultimately becomes the new Dirk for that team. It's a really good trade for them. Like Joel said, they had been talking for a while. It was one of those things where it's just like when you watch that Mavericks game over again, it just kind of feels like the locker room felt like that was going to happen. Mainly from the sense of, they just really didn't give much effort in that game. Especially in the third quarter, Joel, I know you'd know that better than anyone. The third quarter, they just had no effort. So just to kind of see how everything played out, I honestly don't hate Dallas. I love this for Dallas. I told you how much Luka Doncic is my favorite player in the league right now. So anytime you get to give Luka something that could help him win, I'm okay with that. My frustration is more so with Kristaps, mainly because you can't walk into – well, let me not say you can't. It makes no sense to walk into your front office and say, I don't like the losing you guys have been doing when you haven't played not one game the entire season so far. Because a lot of people would say, you put that Knicks team and how much intensity and heart that they have with a healthy Kristaps. Of course, not a number one seed, number two, but like a seventh or eighth seed, the Knicks could have possibly been. With a player like Kristaps alongside of those guys. So it's like, it didn't make sense that this is the time you're saying, I'm not happy with all the losing. It's like, well, dude, we're doing all this to get you the suitable pieces for you to win when you're ready to come back. So it's like, it made no sense. It's not like Kristaps was healthy and the Knicks were trying to tank with him. because then I'd be like, all right, well, I can get that. You're frustrated.
Right.
But to not have played a game this year and then to tell your front office, I appreciate all this losing you've been making me sit on this bench and watch. It's like, well, yeah, if you were healthy, we probably wouldn't be doing all this losing. So, like, hurry up and get healthy. So, I mean, in that standpoint, I am a little upset. I also heard something from my brother before I called into the show today saying the last time the Knicks signed or re-signed, actually, a free agent that they drafted was back in 94. So,
wow.
I mean, this is just one of those things where it's like to be a Knicks fan and to see the possible wasted potential of having Mello, then now the wasted potential of having KP. You look at it and you go, man. And for anyone who's hating on Dennis Smith Jr., last thing I'm going to say, Nick, I'm going to pass back to you. Anyone who's hating on Dennis Smith Jr., let me just say this. Knicks fan, we have Frank Ntilikina, who was drafted the same year as Dennis Smith Jr. I have seen a larger upside in Dennis Smith Jr. than I have seen in Frank. And listen, I am not one of those guys who is saying Frank is a bust or Frank is trash. I get it. He's super young. He has to grow. He has to get more comfortable. It doesn't help being in a losing environment. But
he's
got
to learn how to
Jr.
finish
has,
at the rim, dude.
he just had a triple double against us.
Yes, I was just about to say Dennis Smith Jr. in a losing climate has looked a lot better than what Frank has looked like so far.
Sure.
So to me, Dennis Smith Jr. is my point guard of the future. I don't want to hear anymore Frank is our point guard of the future. I don't want to hear that anymore.
No.
We got our point guard now in Dennis Smith Jr.
He could be our
we
small
now need...
forward for the rest of the
Thank
season.
You.
That's what he could be.
Thank
and we
you.
Can move
That's
Kevin Knox to power
say.
Forward. There you go.
I agree. I completely agree, Joel, because now it's time to make a decision with Frank. Move his position and tell him to get comfortable with it, or we tell him, look, man, we'll find you a suitor. As soon as we can get you out of here, we will. But Dennis is now our point guard. So I'm looking forward to Friday night, 8 o'clock, Celtics versus Knicks, if we can get these guys cleared and and ready to play, seeing Dennis Smith Jr. in a Knicks jersey playing on Friday night.
And he's in the dunk contest. That's going to be weird.
Ooh. Yeah, he's confirmed for that. He's going to be in the dunk contest.
The last time I heard, he was in it. They haven't confirmed anything yet. I've heard his name attached.
I heard the same. I haven't heard any confirmation on it. But yeah, that'll be fucking dope, dude. Like DSJ and fucking John Collins. Like fuck yeah, dude. Sign me up. I'll love it. Okay, so here's my thoughts. Just very briefly. Yes, the trade is good for Dallas. Like the fact that they, like I said, they have this core four of Doncic, Hardaway, Barnes, and Porzingis for the future. That is really good for them. That is a good starting point as a core four. They're not going to have cap space this season because of taking on Hardaway, taking on Lee. Obviously, They have a $14.25 million cap hold on Porzingis before they re-sign him.
Right.
And once they do, he's going to get a max contract. So they don't really have cap space, but like I said, they can utilize a non-luxury tax exception and get or even if it's a luxury tax exception, which I don't think they're going to be knocking on that door, but. But they have the money to go out and sign a center and then, hopefully get a little bit of depth around in those other various positions. Maybe bring back Finney Smith on a reasonable deal. And there's a couple other guys that they, obviously probably would want to keep, whether it be Kleber there's one other dude I can't remember. They have a good foundation now for a successful team going forward. It's all going to come down to the ceilings of Luka and Kristaps, and are those ceilings high enough to basically will that team to victory. I think Hardaway is a really good pickup. I think that the biggest reason why I like this trade for Dallas is they finally fucking wised up and said, you know what, we need to stop trying to go after free agents. We like how many times have Dallas like tried to go after free agents with max cap space and they get nothing?
Yeah,
they don't get anybody. Like just because you're, you know, like the biggest city in the Southwest, like it doesn't matter. You're not New York. You're not LA. You're not even close to even Chicago. Like you're not like your market is not like great. And you know, of course, the state of Texas has, you know, the no state tax. So I mean that helps. But it only helps so much, and like the proof is in the pudding. Like they just have not been able to sign, max level players. So like the fact that they were like, fuck it, we don't care. We'll take Hardaway's contract. He'll help us. We'll take Lee's contract. He won't necessarily like. He's not quintessential as far as like helping us long term or anything, but you know he's a good player. Like we'll take all of that. It's fine. We just want to get KP6. So yeah, I mean I think it was smart. I think it was a good move on their point. And like I said, they had already kind of pushed their chips in with Kristaps, or I'm sorry, with Luka. But anyway, let's get into the Knicks. So obviously the Knicks are essentially making a move to free up a shit ton of cap space. Like that seems to be obvious. They're also getting back Dennis Smith Jr. They're getting back expiring contracts with that with Wes and DeAndre, which obviously those aren't anything that they're going to. Their value is that they are expiring contracts, and that's pretty much it. But they're also getting back, you know, apparently a couple first-round picks and opening up a swell of cap space in this offseason. What are your thoughts on the trade for the Knicks, Joel, particularly the cap space that it opens up? And, you know, how do you think – essentially, like Dennis Smith fits with the rest of the guys that are left on this team.
Okay. All right. So I'm obviously more open to the idea than most, apparently. I've already made peace with it, you know, hurt initially. And it's still taking me a while. I mean, I think it helps that he hasn't played all season. To see, you know, KP left, and like I didn't see him play before he left. You know, he got. Last thing I saw was him getting hurt, like the last thing as well. So, in that regard, it softens the blow. So, for the Knicks, we're getting back a point guard of the future. That's how I'm looking at him. He's a primary ball handler who's going to get everybody else involved. He obviously has the talent. He's had, an off year compared to his rookie year, but we know that he can do it because he did it in his rookie year. Maybe he just needs, you know, maybe this coach, maybe Fizdale can be really good for this player. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. He was really good for Mike Conley, and he's really good for other players. Why can't Fiz be good? He's been good for fucking Moutier. If he can be good for Moutier, he can be good for fucking Dennis Smith Jr. So
right.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's just – it's possible, and then this kid has talent. He's athletic as fuck, and maybe he's not the best defender, but that's why we drafted Frank, right? Because he's a big, long wing defender, right?
Right.
We'll see what happens when we. That's what I want to see. I want to see what happens if Frank does now. Because we lost Trey, so now we still have three point guards. Moody is hurt. Frank is hurt. Dennis is automatically going to be the new point guard going forward.
Right.
Moody will probably end up being the backup, and I think Frank will be relegated to playing the wing spots as more of a point forward. I think that's probably the best way to go forward with Frank. Let him play more of a point forward next to Kevin and with Trier or Dotson in there at the guard spots. But we got two guys and who I may not stay with the team. Wes Matthews, DeAndre Jordan, like you were saying earlier, we might buy them out. Like there's a good chance they might not stick around the rest of the year.
Or trade them,
and we could also turn around and trade them again, but and I wouldn't mind keeping them either. But this honestly, we They're not. We're losing. That's what we're doing. So you, we're here to develop the youth. So you guys want to go somewhere, you let us know. We'll try to make amends for you. That's how I'm looking at it. They've got to go. But I'm glad to have them if they want to stay. You know, it's pretty cool. They took a lot of our shitty contracts. They took all of them. It feels good, sort of. There's nothing there anymore. No one can say we have no room. They took our best player, but they also took our shitty contract on top of it.
Right. Apparently you got two picks for it.
And we got two future first round picks. Actually, I was just looking at it. Give me a second. I'll pull it up right now. But I was just looking at like what we got in that trade, and obviously the ones you got to cancel out. Wes Matthews and DeAndre Jordan. But if you look at it, we got let me read the tweet. All right, so the only positive I can muster in that, unlike in 2010, the Knicks don't just have cap space, because that's what we have now, definitely cap space.
Right.
That trade gave us cap space. We have five young pieces, Knox, Mitch, Rank, BSJ, Trier. And we have seven first-round picks over the next 5 years. We have 2019, our 2020, probably two 2021s, one in 2022, and possibly two in 2023. That's insane. Like, we had cap space and no picks before. Now we have used picks and space.
Right.
That's a lot of positive right there. You could look at the bad side, and you know, we lost one of our, you know, if we wanted to, like, put one of those two max guys with KP, we lost that potential of having three all-stars on one team. But at the same time, we have the youth, space, and picks. And, I mean, in that regard, it wasn't a bad trade, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, with Kristaps cap hold, which is going to be roughly $14.25 million, the Knicks didn't have max cap space. They were going to have to get off of, like, Courtney Lee or somebody like that in order to free up that cap space. Now they not only get off of Lee, Hardaway, but also Kristaps cap hold. Like, dude, okay, so I crunched the numbers, and this is what I came up with. So if you keep you waive Lance Thomas, he's got a $1 million buyout. And let's say you keep Trier, who he's got a team option for a little over $3.5 million. Okay, so you do both of those things. You now have just over $21 million in salary next season. Now, you couple that with six players on your roster. You have to have a $89,162 cap hold for any open roster spot up to 13 roster spots. So you multiply that by six, I believe, because you have seven on your roster. So you multiply that by six. Add that to the $21 million. That gives you add up those two figures, and then add that with the cap hold of the number one overall pick. That leaves you, after all of those figures are combined, that leaves you with $71 million. $71,695,134 in cap space. In order to get Kevin Durant and another max free agent, Kevin Durant can get 35% of the of the $109 million salary cap figure. So he can get that much. Any other max free agent that's out there can only get 30%. So you couple those two figures together, that is $70,850,000. You have $71.6 million, and you can get Kevin Durant and another max free agent for $70.8 million. Like, you have the money to go get Kevin Durant and any player that he wants to recruit. Like, any player that Kevin Durant, like, decides, hey, I want to play with this guy, he can call up and be like, yo, let's go to New York. Let's go play with, you know, these young guys and the two of us. Let's go team up. He can call Kyrie. He can call Jimmy Butler. He can call fucking Kawhi Leonard. He can get anybody that he feels like he wants to team up with. Kevin Durant can now call and be like, let's go play in New York. Kevin Durant's been rumored to New York all season. And the fact that now it's not a question of how are we going to free up the space in order to get Kevin Durant? Now it's if Kevin Durant wants to come here, who's he going to bring with him? That right there is fucking exciting. Like, this trade is so strategic, and I give fucking super fucking props to the New York GM and all of the people involved with their management, because you managed to get a good young player in Dennis Smith Jr., two future first-round picks, and free up two max slots, including Kevin Durant's 35% of the cap. So you're in a perfect position. And here's the kicker too. Dennis Smith Jr. still has two more years on his deal after this season. Same thing with Ntilikina, though I don't think he's necessarily a piece that you really need to worry about. Then Knox has three more years after this year, along with Mitchell Robinson. Trier is an expiring next year, but again, I don't necessarily think he's quintessential piece. He's a really good young player, but he's not a quintessential piece. So essentially what I'm getting at is you not only have this year, but you have this upcoming season to try to attract a max or two max players. But you also have the following season because of the way all of these contracts are. You're not going to have to re-sign anybody the following season. So you have 2 years to be able to go after max free agent. So let's say you only get Kevin Durant next season or whoever. It doesn't matter. Let's say you get fucking Kemba Walker. You could literally just say, all right, we signed Kemba Walker. Now we're just going to find a trade partner for Dennis Smith Jr. and then fucking sign a bunch of 1 year deals, and we're going to go after somebody else the next season. It gives you so much flexibility that you did not have otherwise. Like,
right.
And you still got all these young pieces.
Details.
You got draft picks. What's that?
I got details on the first round pick if you want.
All right. Lay them on me.
All right, so Dallas is sending New York a 2021 unprotected first-round pick and a 2023 protected first-round pick, 1-10 in the deal.
Wow, so unprotected. That's ballsy. Fuck, dude. Like, that's fucking great. Like, can you imagine if, like, fucking KP6 tears his ACL again, and then fucking, like,
right.
You know, Luka's just trying to lead this team by himself, or fuck, if Luka gets hurt too, like, that's
right.
Yeah, that's a really nice pick. I always wanted, like, our pick this year to be unprotected, for giving up Luka. I think had both parties known what Luka would become at the time, that pick would have been unprotected. But I'm not really worried about it. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that was kind of my point from the beginning. I you guys got a fucking ton of possibility, flexibility, and might I add this? Not only do you have the cap space to go out and sign two max free agents, you also have just enough salary to be able to trade for Anthony Davis. If you get Zion Williamson and you compare Zion Williamson, Dennis Smith Jr., Kevin Knox, and a future first, I mean, you tell me, is like what's Boston like? Yeah, they're gonna throw in Jason Tatum, but like, what else are they gonna throw in? Like, they don't have another, like, I mean, I guess Jaylen Brown, but like, he's kind of struggled this year. They can throw him in. But here's the other thing: not only do you have the assets to be able to be in the conversation for Anthony Davis, but furthermore, you have the assets to drive up the asking price and to force Boston to give up more than they want to. So one way or another, you win. You either get Anthony Davis, or you make Boston give up more than they want to, which weakens Boston. We're playing out a lot of what ifs, but like, that's still a very fucking nice position to be in. So, I like the trade as far as the numbers are concerned. I understand with the players and losing Kristaps and him being the future since pretty much his rookie season, all of that like really hurting. But as far as like the figures, but like the numbers, the analytics of the cap, it's a really fucking good trade for New York as far as their flexibility going forward. But Juwan, I've rambled for too long. Let me kick it over to you. What are your thoughts on the Knicks and what this means for them going forward and adding Dennis Smith Jr. to this lineup with the rest of the guys you have and everything that Joel and I just, talked about?
Well, the first thing I was thinking about as you guys are going is, I know Mitchell, I think he's still hurt. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joel. I think he was still injured. That was the main reason why Cantor. Maybe he's not injured.
He wasn't.
But
he wasn't. He came back a couple games ago. He's good now.
Okay. The idea of seeing Dennis Smith Jr., Trier, Knox, Vonleh, and Mitchell Robinson, that excites me a lot for Friday, if that's our starting lineup, just purely because there's just so much, not only athleticism, but ability to score the ball. Something that I know a lot of us Knicks fans would like to see a lot more of, along with like consistent defense, but scoring ability.
Right.
To have a guard who can not only bring it up to court, but the opposing point guard has to constantly check him. You can't leave Dennis Smith Jr. open. You can't sag off. Like, all these things that you can kind of do with Frank, because it's like, what is he going to really do? You can't get away with that with Dennis Smith Jr. So the idea of that is really exciting, and I love having Dennis Smith Jr. I can't wait to see what he does as a Knick. Now, losing KP, now that I've had time to, like, actually process it, the biggest thing that losing him worries me about is free agency, and I'll tell you why. If I'm Kevin Durant, right, and I'm like, man, I really want to play in the city of New York. Of course, it's the Mecca. Who wouldn't want to play? I don't know. Maybe every possible free agent who's had an opportunity to. So I look at it like this. Main reason I wanted to come to New York was to pair with KP. However that needed to work,
I
could pair with KP.
I just told you every reason why the Knicks are better off at landing KD now than they were before this trade.
I know. Hear me out. Let me finish.
Okay.
I was trying to say that if I'm KD, I'm looking at just purely the idea of the somewhat perceived notion of dysfunction. Even now, I mean, you have
that's
the
not dysfunction
of
though. That seriously
it is
though, okay.
A sense of dysfunction.
Okay, please explain.
It is a sense of dysfunction. Your last guard, dysfunctional. The whole Phil Jackson tirade, that was dysfunction.
They moved on from Phil, they've been very calculated. Every move they've made has been really smart.
This was, okay, all I'm saying is your top player, wanting to leave after you've already told them what this season was going to be, not past anything else, just this one season, we were going to have to do what we needed to do to develop and then look on to free agency. The idea that your star player was not willing to just go through a season he couldn't even play in, it speaks more to what issues does he have, because it can't be that he hates the front office. The front office changed. So it's like, what is it that Kristaps was not willing to wait for? So my
I think he knew he was on the trading block. I think he knew that they were talking about trading him for Anthony Davis, and that was the straw broke the camel's back.
I'm sorry. No. It couldn't possibly be, because you have to look at it in the sense of, okay, were they talking about it? Sure. But there was, at the end of the day, they weren't going to pull the trigger on that. If they weren't going to allow Phil to pull the trigger on trading him to Boston when Boston wanted him. Boston's going to offer.
I totally would have pulled the trigger on that. I would have given up.
What I'm saying
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm just saying, I would have given up fucking Kristaps, unprotected first round pick next season, and you know, Nilekina, and another future protected first round pick, and possibly Knox if I didn't have to give up the future first round pick. Like, I would have done it, dude. Like, to get Anthony Davis. Like, and to have that be the drawing factor for Katie or Kyrie or whoever, like, and then if it doesn't work out, you still have a year of Anthony Davis. You can always trade him for, you know, Jason Tatum and whatever the Celtics are going to offer, or whatever the Lakers are going to offer. Like, I totally
Lakers
would
have offered
that.
Their starting five, and yeah, their current
minus
five
LeBron.
Is without
yeah.
LeBron. Right.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But,
and a first
but like, yeah, I mean, I think had the Pelicans wanted Kristaps, from what I've heard, they didn't want him. They're worried about his injury. They're worried about the fact that he's free agent this season, and that's weird to me, because even though like he's a restricted free agent, there's never ever been a restricted free agent who turned down a max deal, especially one coming off an injury. So my thought is that they were worried on what kind of deal they were going to be able to get him on, and his injury. Like, they were thinking maybe he's only willing to sign a four with a player option on the third year, which means we only have him for 3 years locked down. And that's not great. But then again, like, with his injury, maybe we don't want to sign him more than that. Like, that's my thought. New Orleans ultimately did not necessarily want Porzingis. With that being said, you know, I'm sure, like Joel said, they've been in this talk with Dallas for the last 2 days. I'm sure when that AD news broke, they were in talks with New Orleans for a couple of days, and just they couldn't. There was no deal to be had. And then, you know, Porzingis marches in, hears about it, marches in, is like, dude, like, fuck this, I want out. And it's like, all right, well, we'll figure something out. And they figured out a pretty damn good deal, all things considered. But Juwan, please go ahead. Sorry, I'm passionately disagreeing with you on this, but the dysfunction, or you know, wherever you're going with that.
The point I was trying to make is, if I'm a free agent, I'm looking at what's happening in the Garden. And then I'm looking over to their neighbor, the Barclays Center, and I'm seeing a team that no one gave a chance making the play. I'm currently in the playoff picture. So I'm looking at that team and I'm going, I could just be the icing on that cake that could really push that team, rather than the Knicks still trying to figure out what they want to do with their youth, what's going to happen with this draft pick, and then if anyone else is actually going to come. I mean, we're putting a lot of stock from sources that aren't getting it from players. Like the possible idea of Kyrie wavering on staying in Boston. Kyrie, his mind could be, I want to go to New York. His mind could be, I want to stay in Boston. You can never tell with that guy. He could go and play with LeBron. You have Kevin Durant. You don't know what's going on with the idea of Kevin Durant. So it's like to put stock in us landing these huge names that we want, Jimmy Butler, whatever. I'm saying if I am a free agent, I am now not laughing at the idea of the Nets. I'm looking across and I'm going,
sure.
I don't really hear anything going on in their organization, and I'm looking at them in the playoffs right now as the number 6 seed.
And I'm looking at it like this. The Knicks have now every option available to them. They got a free agency. They have a youth movement. They don't have the youth movement. They have obviously this free agency or the next year's free agency. They're about to kill themselves with signing a max player, an unnecessary max player like we did last time. We have options. I think that's the difference. It's just, you're right. Because if you're on Twitter now, you look at it and everyone's freaking out and the Knicks are being Knicks and the world is falling apart and they traded their best player for scraps and this and that. I mean, you read that and you realize, oh, they're the worst team in the league. They're just a joke. Yeah, we're always in the mix for some big free agent.
Yeah. And like, I get where you're coming from, Juwan, on Brooklyn, but like, you're still the East Coast LA Clippers, bro. Like, you're not.
Yeah, but
you're not the Knicks.
Is,
you're not.
Yeah,
like,
but the difference is there's a huge difference though. Like LeBron,
right.
What's
yeah,
the Lakers? No one,
like
no
wait,
one
wait,
in
wait, 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 wait,
no superstar has come to the Knicks. None.
Which one has gone to the Nets?
I think what he's saying is versus Knicks versus the Lakers.
Like
free agents go to the Lakers all the time. Right.
Well, the Lakers were on a slump too till last year.
Right, and here's the thing. Like I said, it's not like I get you. Like who comes to the Knicks, whatever. But like now that they have this amazing amount of cap space, even with the number one overall pick, they could get the number one overall pick and still sign 2 max free agents. Like they, like I said, Kevin Durant, if he really wants to rewrite the narrative on, you know, his career, which I don't know what is going on in Kevin Durant's head. Sure. Like, but I would think just knowing what I've seen from him as far as what he says, what he tweets, all of that, I would think that that's something that he wants to do. Like, you can recruit whoever the fuck you want to come play with you now in New York. Like, that's huge. Like, I it doesn't get any better than that if you're the Knicks as far as, like, a draw. Like, if you can say, yo, Kevin, like, fucking, you know, come here and, like, bring anybody that you want to play with you who's a free agent. Like, just pick them and like, bring them with you. Like, that is something that the Knicks not only didn't have before, but they didn't even have the money to get KD. Like, so I get it. I get the trepidation behind, you know, as a fan. Like, you never know. It may not work out. But like Joel said, even if it doesn't, you still have the youth movement, and you the other thing that this affords you is by getting off of all of those 3 big salary players, because Kristaps would have been a big salary player next season. Like, you right. have not only the youth movement, but you have time. You have time to bring in other big name free agents. Time that you did not have before. Like, you had to get somebody this offseason to pair with Kristaps, or you were fucked. And you were locked up cap wise. So like now you have a couple years to figure that out. If it doesn't happen this off season, I actually really like the trade for the Knicks. I think they came out. I think both sides came out very well here. It's going to really rely on what happens in the off season. But ultimately, I think it's a very smart trade coming from the analytical cap perspective, if you will. But we got about 5 minutes left. Juwan, close us out with your final thoughts on the deal in general and just, like, I mean, how you feel about everything and any sort of retort to what I just said.
Well, like I said, I love the trade. I personally, it shouldn't have seemed like I had an issue with the trade, because I don't. I was just raving about Dennis Smith Jr. And you guys know I've been dying for Wesley Matthews to become a Knick.
Sure.
I'm completely fine with the trade. I've been, waiting for Wesley Matthews to come here for the longest, so I'm fine with it. And it gives Tim Hardaway Jr. a chance to go over to the Mavericks and try to make them competitive now rather than, trying to rebuild with them. So it's fine for me. I'm happy. I just don't want – I was telling my brother this. When LeBron was a free agent for the first time, everyone and their mother said he's going to be a Knick. He's going to be a Knick. We've heard it. He's friends with Jay-Z. He's going to be a
yep.
Knick. Just bet on it. And then what happened? Yep. Our dreams were crushed. And no offense to him, but we ended up with Amari Stoudemire. So when
well,
I'm
you know what?
To
love
tell
Amari.
Everyone,
but you know what, Juwan?
All the respect
Juwan.
To Amari.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know what Miami had on you? The ability to sign two other fucking people. Now you have that ability,
I
bro.
I understand. All I'm saying is this. New York fans, I'd rather you buy into the youth movement than the idea that this cap space is going to bring in our saviors. I'd rather put my stock in. If we can get Zion, that is like the equivalent of signing those two max guys to me, because that is a huge move for the future with the lineup I am already content with.
It's the equivalent unless they actually sign those two guys.
Well, then, yes, unless they actually sign them, yes.
Well,
but
here's the thing. It's
like
I said, you could literally get Zion and still sign those two guys. Could you imagine?
That's true.
Like, fucking
could,
Kyrie.
But...
Like, let's say Kyrie Irving. You got, we'll put Frank Ntilikina at the three. You got Kevin Durant at the four. You got either Zion or Knox. You can work both of those guys in, and then Mitchell Robinson at the five, and then Zion can play small ball five when you need him to. Like, dude, like, get excited, Juwan. Like, don't.
No.
Like,
absolutely
I know.
Not.
I know you don't like to, like, be disappointed, and you like to temper your expectations so you don't get disappointed. But, like, man, like, if I'm a Knicks fan right now, I'm fucking excited, man. I'm like, yo, dude, look at all this fucking cap space. We got a really good shot at the number one
overall
pick.
We're not built like that. We're just preparing for the worst. You have to understand. Unless something good happens, we do not prepare
absolutely.
For the best. Right now, the world is on fire.
Nick, all I'm saying is, in my 25 years.
I feel
years
you.
Of...
Coming from a Georgia fan of all sports, like, I understand that. It has less to do with, like, this type of situation and more just to do with, like, we finally get to the big game and then fucking lose. It's how it more goes from my perspective.
All I'm saying is, in 25 years of living, I personally have not seen – and the Knicks have had opportunities to sign at least one max star player, and they have not been able to land not one. So, no.
Well, Amari.
We've only been in one true – yeah, Amari and Melo. But the one time we did have the opportunity, we missed. Yeah, but I'm saying he was our max guy, and we traded
right.
the world.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
the fun,
we traded for him.
But,
yeah. I mean, I don't mean trade. I mean signed a superstar. In the offseason.
Yeah, no, superstar. But not a lot of teams sign superstars. It's not very, it's not
no,
that
right.
common.
No, no. What I'm saying is, Joel, as Knicks fans, we can't say, it's the Mecca. Who wouldn't want to play here? But then on the flip side, though, well, not really, not many other franchises. No. We are supposed to be one of the pinnacles of basketball. So the idea that we haven't been able to is absurd. So I don't want to put my stock in that. My stock is in this youth movement.
No, you shouldn't.
And I am really enjoying the idea of Dennis Smith Jr. being the newest addition to our youth movement, and that is the only thing that will
waiting
get
for
any
the lottery.
Amount. of my faith. That is the only thing that will get my faith until I see a superstar sign the dotted line and hold the jersey in front of the camera.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
No, I feel you. We're going to leave it there. Jawan, Joel, thank you guys for joining me for this emergency podcast. I'm glad we were able to do it. I hope at least somewhat I was able to mitigate and you know, somewhat calm both of you guys down, because I knew this was going to be a difficult situation. But anyway, Geek Vibes Live this Sunday. We're going to be back next week. We're going to be covering the trade deadline on Thursday. We got episode 100 coming next week, guys. Episode 100 of Full Court Press. Yeah, it's a milestone. But until then, peace.
Peace.